You, it seems like you haven't spoken in an age in a while.
It's been ages. Literally, it's been ages. I think, Donovan, before we chat about President Ramaphosa and his latest utterances in respect of Japanese businesses, but we saw that Japan hosting African leaders a couple of days ago during the course of a three-day summit. Japan literally came forward and saying, we are offering ourselves as an alternative partner to you on the continent, seeing as though many other world powers are now consolidating their own personal ties, either in their country or confining themselves to their continent. So Japan touts trade and investment at a summit with African leaders. Good news, yes?
Yes, it is. Well, look, this is nothing new. You have something called TICAD, which is a Japanese-African summit. And it's institutionalized, so for trade in particular. Remember, Japan, after World War II, they don't have any security, massive security capacity and so forth. So, but they are a donor country. And as a donor country, they have made certain, they have essentially participated in development work. So TICAD, as it's called, has been around for a while itself. The difference this time around is, of course, our friend Donald Trump has made things a little bit different in that he doesn't believe in multilateral forums, and his understanding of bilateral partnerships, it's a master and servant relationship where you accept not just the United States leadership or power, but you accept that you serve its economy, otherwise he punishes you. That's basically, it's as crass as that. Now, the result of that being is that he does that with all countries. So he would do that with a country like Brazil, South Africa, China, to a lesser extent, because China is able to not require the United States as much as others, as well as even Japan. Now, the Japanese economy has always served the U.S. economy since World War II, and slightly before that, but mainly since World War II, since the end of World War II. But this time it's a little bit more different because everybody, every country realizes that you cannot trust the United States. They can change their mind in how they deal with you. So what President Ramaphosa spoke about, a diversification, is essentially getting alternative markets to the U.S. Because if you are dependent on the U.S., if they are your major trade partner on any particular product and you do not have an alternative, you run into trouble. So Japan needs alternatives, and African countries always need new markets. And so that would be that was the basis of the input of President Ramaphosa, correctly so. And we have to create alternatives. We've seen it. It's not just about the 30% tariff and so forth, because anything can change. Anything can be done. Today it can be no tariff for that matter, and tomorrow it can change again. And I'm not sure if, even if Donald Trump is no more around, if this nature of trade, nervous trade relations is going to change even after him.
Mm. It does appear as if, I may be wrong, Donovan, perhaps here you can engage, what trade tariffs were, it was always a thing for many years. It just appears as if it's become very much prominent, very much prevalent, and perhaps even post a Trump administration. It may just be here to stay for a while.
Yeah, because, you know, we've seen it, right? And it's, the proof of the pudding is always in the eating, not that you think there's a pudding or you see one, etc. And whenever anything has happened, if George W. Bush did something, was a Republican, the next president who came in, Obama, he didn't undo what Bush did, you know? And similarly, Biden didn't necessarily undo what Trump did. He just went into Ukraine. That was the difference, you know?
Mm.
All right? So it's not like, this is, history tells us they don't necessarily undo, because you're still doing the bidding of the actual you know, they want to call it a shadow state or whatever, but you're doing the bidding of the elite, that military-industrial complex and so forth. So for Africa and for countries like South Africa, Nigeria, and so forth, you need to have alternative trading partners, because that's dependency theory, basically. That's when you become a dependent. And Japan is looking to that, but South Africa has a particular relationship with Japan. Toyota, as you know, it's a brand of Japan. Plus, remember, before the Chinese and all the different technology alternatives, you know, most of our technology was from Japan. It was, you know, a Casio, and various many other types of technology, Panasonic, if you recall that. I mean, some of the younger listeners may think we're making this up, because it's like antiques today, yeah. Right? But, even clothing and so forth would came from Japan in different terms. So things have changed, you know, things have changed. But it doesn't mean that it can't be done again. In fact, you know, in a weird, just a side matter, if you recall, one of the first BEE deals before 1994, for that matter, was a deal called NAIL, where they bought NAIL and NEF, the National Empowerment Foundation. They bought Jonik, and the major prize in the Jonik group of companies, as it was known, was Toyota. But what happened? They took out Toyota and gave it back to Japan. Because of sanctions, Toyota Japan wasn't necessarily owned. Sorry, Toyota South Africa wasn't necessarily owned by Toyota Japan. And they took it out and then gave. And then Ntata Matlana and various others were able to buy Jonik. It was without Toyota. And Toyota South Africa went back to Toyota Japan. You know, this was just before 1994. For that matter. That was one of the first deals, and MTN was even included in that. So our president knows those things, and he knows how flexible Japanese companies can be. But it's also us learning that, but he was questioned, the president was questioned, like, are you trying to get an alternative to China? And you know, Japan and China don't necessarily get along, they still compete. And that's because Japan is one of the few countries that, in a sense, colonized China. Not the all of it.
Yes.
But it colonized provinces, you know, during World War II, etc. So all of Southeast Asia do not like Japan. You know, all the countries there had a Japanese occupying force at some stage or the other. And the president answered correctly to say, no, we don't send either or. It's not one or the other. We trade with everyone, because that's part of our non-aligned matter. But also, we can't make the same mistake that we can make with the U.S. and Europe. We can't just put all our eggs in the basket of China.
Yes,
we also have to have alternatives to China. And that's not because you're against China or don't trust them. That's just good business, you know?
Correct. Yeah, that's indeed. Just good business. Indeed. Yeah. Now, this, Donovan, this comes off the back of the African leaders, including President Cyril Ramaphosa, meeting with Japan during this three-day summit. President Ramaphosa was also joined by a high-level business delegation. Investments in our economy, Japan literally attributing and contributing more than 90 billion. So that is sizable. We need to ensure that we maintain those ties. But while this has been happening, we've seen China also meet with South Korea. We've seen China also meet with India. And India adamant that they will continue to purchase their crude oil from Russia, despite the United States threatening them.
Yeah, this is it, Jack. See, when you weaponize, you force countries not to be depending on you. And this is what's going to happen all the time. And understand as well, though, that this is the difficulty Africa has, and it's a serious one. We haven't yet been able to do it. Remember, the predecessor of the African Union was the Organization of African Unity. Because unity is that important. You've had a Nigeria, this is pre-1994, pre-the free South Africa, you had something called, it was a very long name, CSSDCA is the acronym, and it basically was like an economic recovery plan and to integrate the economies of Africa, of the African continent. And then, of course, we had post-1994 Presidents Obasanjo and Mbeki from Nigeria, President Mbeki from South Africa, basically were the main leaders of something called NEPA, the New Partnership for Africa's Development. And through the efforts of NEPA to integrate particular economies on the continent and create space for better peace and security and democracy and so forth, it gave rise to the African Union. However, we are yet to witness Africa acting in a concerted way by either integrating their economies and increasing their trade properly with each other and working together in multi-forum, even like TICAD. The matter is this. This is the only inherent danger. That Japan meets with all these African leaders, but they do not speak with one voice. So you have African economies competing with each other to get a particular deal from Japan, as opposed to standing together and saying to Japan, no, you're going to supply us in this way, which is good for all our economies, not just say good for Ghana or good for South Africa, etc. And that game has been played many times. And the larger economies, like South Africa and so forth, will have to sacrifice so that smaller ones win. But what happens, generally speaking, when the larger economies, in particular South Africa has been really good and really good at this, tries to stand up to, say, Europe and so forth, and even Japan, to make certain a better deal is made, the smaller economies in Africa are told, you see, South Africa is blocking this deal, and they can because they are a richer country. So it does require that African economies and leaders work with each other as opposed to compete with each other to get the deals with like Japan through TICAD. It hasn't happened yet. We are yet to see it. It has not happened in the WTO, in GATT, and all sorts of multilateral forums. It is yet to occur. NEPAD hasn't been able to create that space to do it. It's tried long. I don't know if NEPAD really is that relevant as before, but its objectives still remain there, but it has not been able to integrate it. You have got a body that has started about 3 years ago, which is about the integration of the African economies, which is led by a South African. It has done well, but it has not yet been able to, and it's supposed to increase trade, inter-African trade in particular, and integrate economies. It hasn't been able to do it completely because these are political decisions. It's not necessarily economic decisions. And part of the difficulty is this. For example, South Africa will have a minimum wage. You don't have a minimum wage in other countries. South Africa would have certain reporting, regulations, and that you don't have that. So there's a lot more. So it's easier said than done. It's a lot more to do. So that's some of the hard work that needs to be done. Otherwise, you lose out on these billions because it goes to the country the most desperate.
Interesting times indeed. President Ramaphosa stating that South Africa is seen by Japan as a gateway to the rest of the continent, and they want to utilize the African continent for free trade purposes, also wanting to use South Africa as a springboard to capitalize and expand their business operations across the rest of Africa, just, as long just, as just we benefit.
Just before you go off, I want to say this. When you look at a lot of the social media comments from ordinary South Africans, they are not very, very complimentary to President Ramaphosa. Of course, because of corruption and so forth. So when they hear these billions, they say, oh, this is just going to be taken. It's for your cronies and so forth. But in fairness to President Ramaphosa, notwithstanding the problems we have with corruption, I think the public also need to be fair. You don't want him to give up because the United States is 30% tariffs and trying to punish our economy. So when he's trying to create alternatives, I think as South Africans, we must make certain we are more supportive. Otherwise, we're going to hurt our own economy, thinking that we are just being critical of President Ramaphosa, who may not be that popular to many people at the moment. I just want to add that, Junaid, that's one I asked you to lose out on that.
Donovan Williams, international relations expert, mail and guardian columnist, thanks so much for your time as always.